This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Good to be with you. Nick Caley meets with the media today. We'll talk about that here in the 9 o'clock hour. New Texans offensive coordinator. That happens at 1 o'clock today. It'll be Nick Caley and D'Amico Ryans, according to the notification from Texans PR. So I'm as looking forward as much to hearing from D'Amico Ryans as I am Nick Caley, if I'm being honest. He's going to get asked about Bobby Slowik. I'm just anxious to see how he handles that question. You know, my guess is we won't get much, but I want to see the question get asked. You know, I want to see kind of, I need some body language to read, Seth, is what I'm saying. From D'Amico Ryans, you know?
Yeah, let's give Sean something to get irrationally excited and optimistic about.
Or read into, like, ooh, there may have been something going on between Bobby and D'Amico, huh? Some heat.
Yeah. I want Nick Caley to get up there and be like, well, I'll tell you there's one thing I won't be doing.
yes. And then a screen comes down and he runs like plays six different plays at horrible times.
Yeah. What if he just goes full scorched earth?
He just...
Listen, I never met Bobby Slowik. Don't care that I have, ever will. Because if I watch this nonsense one more time...
Plays all four screens to Nico Collins in the Chiefs game, you know?
Yeah.
Went for like minus 10 yards. Yes, I'm there for that.
I know he's from, where's he from? Ohio or Michigan, wherever he's from.
He's from Ohio, yeah.
I would prefer that he comes in with a thick Arkansas accent. just do a little Brian Kelly there. Maybe morph his accent a little bit.
Can you imagine he's driving around town yesterday? Like, he gets here yesterday and he's driving around town and he's listening to the radio to try to get a feel for maybe, like, if he can change his voice a little bit to connect. And he spent the whole afternoon listening to Clint on the drive, and he comes in talking like Clint today. That would be amazing.
Listen here, Chief. This is what I'm looking to do.
All gas, no brakes. Yeah. That would be great. So Alex Bregman is the latest in a long, long line of free agents to leave the Astros. It feels like it's been an annual thing, you know, that guys, at least one marquee free agent leaves the Astros hoping for greener pastures, hoping for more money. Oftentimes successful eventually in getting more money than the Astros are offering. But how has it gone for each of these guys after they left? Are any of these guys having any regret over not staying with the Astros? Or do the Astros have any regret over not bringing these guys back? I've got the big ones that have left after each season, Seth. Mm-hmm. Like the biggest ones that I can remember, like from a marquee standpoint. The first one for me in 2018, Dallas Keuchel. That was a big deal. I mean, he was a couple years removed from a Cy Young. He was an all-star in 2017. Probably most importantly, he was the one that pitched Justin Verlander on coming to Houston in 2017. Like, Keuchel was viewed as a core guy. Like, he was going to be an Astro for life kind of thing.
Well, and he was the original Yankees killer of this generation.
That's right.
The Astros.
Yeah, the wild card.
You know, he was a hero of the first miniature playoff series win and everything else that came with it. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess with Keuchel, though, it was Was it more of a, he had already shown the signs in 2018 that he wasn't quite the same guy.
Yes.
And was it as much of a shock that he didn't necessarily, you know, he wasn't the best version of himself ever again, really?
No. Well, if you recall, like, so 2017, he was an all-star and he was a fixture, yeah, and they win the World Series. 2018, he became more of just an innings-eating workhorse. He led the league in starts. He took the ball every time. He started 34 games. But he's 12-11. His ERA was in the high threes, you know. The strike zone was starting to change a little bit, too, which hurt him. You know, he was very much down in the strike zone. And then he sat there for 2-3 months of the season, still a free agent. He didn't sign with Atlanta until midway through the 2019 season. And then he got there, and he was almost the same exact pitcher in 2019 that he was. He was 8-8 with a 3.75 ERA. The year before, he was 12-11, 3.74 ERA. He never really got, like, the COVID year, he was really good. He was 6-2 with an ERA below 2 because he had signed after that Atlanta year, he signed a 3-year deal with the White Sox. But after that COVID year, man, like, ERAs in the 5s, in the 9s, trips to the minor leagues. He finally made it back last year, and he pitched in a few games for Milwaukee. But yeah, like, it's undoubtedly, like, the Dallas Keuchel thing, like, it was a good thing they didn't re-sign him to a big deal.
The biggest, with Keuchel, he kind of got screwed by the league in that they specifically moved the strike zone up 2 inches, and that was where Keuchel just lived down there. Like he had a dustbin at the bottom of the strike zone, and that was, you know, like, that's where he lived, and that's where he did his most damage, and they just took it away from him.
Yep.
And it kind of changed his entire skill. Like, it changed the entire value of him as a pitcher.
Yep. Next one was Gerrit Cole in 2019, after the 2019 season. So Keuchel after 2018, Cole after 2019.
For Pete's sake.
Got a record-breaking contract from the New York Yankees. I forget the exact numbers, but it was like $36 million a year for like 8 years. It was a long deal. He's still under that deal, right? He's still got a few years left on that deal right now. He's been really good. He's been really good for the Yankees. He's won a Cy Young for them. And yet I still, if I had to guess, the Yankees may not think they're getting their money's worth on Keuchel. You know, he's been an all-star a few times, but when it's like, he hasn't pitched them to a World Series and he's had his bad outings in the postseason, and we know that matters to Yankee fans. Like, his numbers have been really good. He's getting at the time was getting the most money any pitcher has ever gotten. You know,
it is. I mean, they bought the 2.5 ERA version of Gerrit Cole,
correct?
And then they've got a guy that's been above a 3.0 ERA since then.
Still really good.
He's still very good. Yeah, but I don't think, I think with this year especially, for how it went in the first half of the season and Gerrit Cole wasn't available at all. I can't imagine that they think that's money well spent.
Yeah, it's.
It's not like it's money thrown out the window.
No. If I were a Yankee fan, I would view it as, all right, well, we overpaid for this guy, but we wouldn't be where we've been. Like, we need him. Okay, now we get into the ones that are a little more emotional, I think, especially in your household. George Springer. He's the one that left after 2020. How do you think they're feeling? How do you think they're feeling in Toronto about Springer under this deal? They knew they were getting a guy who was going to be in his early 30s when they signed him, a guy who plays a breakneck style of baseball. And it's kind of played out that way. You know, his first year, he missed half the season. His second year, made the All-Star team, but he missed 30 games. He's actually been much more available the last couple years, but he's not been good. His OPS has been 732 and 674 the last couple years. And he's still got 2 years left on a $150 million deal. So I think the Astros, I know Brandy's probably listening right now. She's not going to like hearing me say this. They probably dodged a bullet by George Springer not taking whatever offer the Astros gave. Because they've offered, they offered all these guys. You know what I mean? They made offers to all of them. They just weren't comparable to what they eventually ended up getting in their future destinations.
The hard thing for me, as you know, about Springer was just, I wish I had never gone to that playoff game in Toronto. It was when Toronto was playing the Mariners before, and the Astros played the winner of that series.
Yep.
And just seeing what an afterthought George Springer was, contrasted to some of the young stars they had on that team and everybody else. I didn't see a single George Springer jersey.
Yeah.
It was that was kind of sad for me because there was all those great things that George Springer had done with the Astros when they were on the rise and when they were winning a World Series. It just it obviously has no meaning to anybody else. And he's struggling as a player. So it was sad for me as a fan to see all that.
Sad as a fan. You know, emotionally, I wish he'd stayed. With the performance the way it's been, that's a deal I'm glad the Astros didn't make. So that falls on that side of the ledger for me. Carlos.
Brandy, by the way, agrees. She does understand. Like, she's cool. She was never angry at the Astros or anything.
Yeah.
And it made sense. But, I mean, Springer remains like the biggest, I don't want to say victim, that's a little extreme, but they messed with his service time. He was already a guy who had gone to college and everything, so he's older to begin with. So by the time he got to be a free agent, he was an older player. And because of the he never really had a chance to capitalize on the very peak of his worth.
No, I would submit that 6 years, 150 for when he became a free agent was about as great as he was going to do contractually, for sure. Carlos Correa leaves after 2021, and his saga has been interesting since leaving. He put up the best contract year out of any of these guys, I think. Well, Cole was pretty good. Cole was runner-up for the Cy Young, so that was pretty good. But Correa was a top-five MVP, top-five in the MVP balloting in 2021. He led baseball in wins above replacement. And yet the deal that he got was similar to the Bregman deal that just went down. You know, he didn't get that 10 or 12 year deal, maybe because of his injury history, which had been extensive. Like Correa's injury history has been significant prior to the COVID year, but all different types of injuries. So he got that 3 year, $100 million deal from the Twins, opts out, signs long-term deals with the Mets. They fail him on his physical, signs a long-term deal with the Giants. They fail him on his physical, goes back to the Twins, 6 years, $200 million. He made the All-Star team last year. I would have been, I think, if the Astros offered him 5 years, $160 million when he became a free agent, if he had accepted that deal, I would still be cool with it right now, I think. Even though Pena's been really good for the Astros, you know?
Yeah.
I would have been all right with it.
Yeah.
So he, yeah,
I'm thinking about Cole and how much of it was sour grapes with me that I was getting at Norva. I mean, he's been to the All-Star game 3 times since they signed him. I feel like with the Yankees, they know they're overpaying people, and they're just paying top of the market. You'd have to be a moron to expect him to be a Cy Young finalist every single year.
Yeah.
So we'll have to listen in on New York radio someday when they're talking about Gerrit Cole and exactly how they feel about him.
You know, the thing is, if Correa had said yes to 5 years, $160 million, you know, when and where does Jeremy Pena pop up in our lives? You know, do they move Correa to third base, but Bregman is still here at that point? You know, if Carlos Correa had said yes to that deal, then the world changes quite a bit. Like, do you win the... It sounds crazy to say this, and I know I just said I would have been cool with him signing that deal. That said, I think I'm changing my mind right now because they won the World Series with Jeremy Pena in 2022. In theory, I don't want anything that would have disrupted the butterfly effect of Jeremy Pena becoming the shortstop of the Astros, you know?
That if... Right, yeah, but then by also extension, it doesn't feel like they couldn't have won the World Series with Carlos Correa.
No, but Pena was just so crucial to it, you know, he was such a key part of it. You know, the whole world changes. Verlander leaves after 2022. I don't think we need to dive deep on that one because he was an Astro like 4 months later again. They traded for him, you know, they got him back in the building. I guess I say all this to say, Seth, how do you think Bregman is going to do? Do you think Bregman's going to fall more on the Springer-Keuchel side of things or more on the Correa Cole side of things, of guys who've left?
I think the Correa Cole side of things. I think that especially in that ballpark, as you know, one of our listeners pointed this out when we were listening to the Boston radio station react to it. They were talking about how happy Bregman would be playing in Fenway, and because the ballpark suits him. Yes, that's true, but that also means there's a higher chance that he's going to opt out. I mean, Bregman might have a career year this year, and he'll opt out, and the Red Sox are either going to have to figure out a way to extend him, or he's just gone. So I think that's a very good deal for Bregman, I just wonder with the Red Sox, it's almost like the more it's a good signing for the Red Sox, the more quickly it becomes a bad deal for the Red Sox because they might lose him immediately.
Yeah.
But they'd also, but like, it's very low risk. You know, they're not on the hook for any more money after he leaves. But it makes a lot of sense for both sides.
I think he might end up being the best out of all these guys in their new venue, in their new digs with that ballpark there. I think he's gonna put up some big numbers in Fenway, man.
Yeah, and I think his relationship with Alex Cora obviously probably helped a lot in either convincing ownership or the front office that it was worth doing this type of a deal. And so it's not you always worry about, I guess, when a guy goes to a team, then they sometimes, like with Albert Pujols, just fall apart completely.
Yep.
I'd be really surprised if that happened to Bregman.
Oh, yeah. I would, too. Pujols was getting old at that point, too. So it was just a big dude who lumbered around and could barely move.
And it was, yeah, it was, but it wasn't, and it wasn't the first, year wasn't as bad as...
No.
It was the years after that, right?
The later years.
I mean,
years.
He was below average in that first year, but it wasn't as extreme as it would become very quickly.
He was never St. Louis Pujols ever again, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
It was probably like a poor man's version of what we just talked about with Gerrit Cole, which is like, all right, we're spending a lot of money on this guy. Pretty good. We thought we were getting a Hall of Famer good.
I mean, he was 32 years old.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, I mean, he wasn't old. He was 32 years old
right.
That first year. But I guess the signs of starting to diminish, perhaps, in hindsight, it's easy to see this. Like, he'd been quadruple-digit OPS 4 out of the previous 5 seasons, and then he dipped down to a 900, and then that next year with Los Angeles, he was an 859, and then he was in the 700s and below for the rest of his career.
Yeah, and very expensive. expensive.
Yeah, right. He was an average hitter.
Yeah.
Being paid as one of the highest paid players in
baseball. $30 million
a year. For a long, 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 long time.
Sure was, man. He sure was. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Questions still rolling in. Comments on the Bregman signing. We'll continue to work those in off of the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. I made a couple new friends at the Super Bowl, and it pained me to hear one of them give one of the worst takes that we've heard all week long. And we will have that for you coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Seth, as you know, I made two new friends at the Super Bowl this year in New Orleans. Really, really close, tight relationships with two new people that are prominent in the football world. Dak Prescott and John Gruden.
That's true. Yeah, you guys are all best buds now, huh?
Yeah, we spent
you
a grand...
just love. You can't shut up about Dak Prescott.
We spent a grand total of about 7.5 minutes combined with the two of them, and now we're fast friends.
I heard you made a big impression on them.
Yeah.
I heard that, they kind of rethought their priorities in life after deep conversations.
I pulled Dak aside at that vodka reveal party that we were at and said, hey, listen, man. You know, I know you're revealing. I know you're unveiling this three types of vodka over here. But listen,
yeah,
you got to focus. All right. Now, according to Dak, maybe he doesn't need to focus all that much because Dak was it looked to be at some sort of charity event over the last couple of days, and the media caught up with him.
Typical.
And that's what if he would just stop drinking tequila at that point, I would have said you need to do less charity stuff. You know, like
yeah,
that's what I would have advised.
Focus. Focus on winning and nothing else.
Right.
You've got too much perspective on life, giving back and whatnot.
Yes, I didn't get a chance to give him that advice, and lo and behold, he winds up at a charity event this week.
Yeah.
All right. So,
could have been watching film.
That's right. The media caught up with him. Here was Dak Prescott, Seth, on where exactly the Cowboys are right now compared to the teams that he watched in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned it and they deserved it by all means. But, very close. Especially even watch the NFC game, the NFC Championship. And those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time. To see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us.
And he's such a good guy.
I'm confused and maybe I don't understand the nomenclature on an NFL schedule.
Okay.
Am I wrong or did they lose to the Eagles twice this year?
They did. Now, he himself has a very good record overall against the Eagles since he came into the league.
Right, right, which is awesome. That's great. You know, Michael Jordan's got a good record as an NBA player. Does that mean they should bring him back?
Right. Like, no. What were the scores?
They lost, Sean. They were squeakers.
Yeah.
They lost 34-6.
Yeah.
And they lost 41-7.
Okay.
So, yeah, tell me about historically how good you've been versus the Eagles. I don't want to hear it.
Open up the box score and go through the play-by-play? Maybe those games were closer than the final score would indicate. You know, here's the thing, man. It was a close game until the... A lot of invisible yards left on the field out there, man.
That's the same argument I might make about the Texans in various games this year. Like, hey, look at how close they were.
31-2.
With teams like the Chiefs and the Jets.
The Ravens. 31-2. Literally the score.
Yeah, the Ravens won. There was no glossing over anything.
That would have been fun, yeah. So that kind of hurt my heart a little bit that my new friend, Dak, would have a take that appears to be that they're – forget about what he said about competing with the Eagles, that they're very close overall to competing with these teams that were making deep playoff runs.
Right.
I don't feel that way about them right now, necessarily.
They had some close – I think they beat the Commanders once, and then they lost to them 23-19. Mm-hmm. So the Commanders, I think when you start talking about that NFC Championship game, maybe you can start to make an argument there.
Maybe.
If it were college football, I would say that they had very few quality wins this year.
Yeah.
They beat the Steelers early on 20-17, which was – I mean, the Steelers were – okay, at least that was a competent NFL team.
Yeah.
But other than that, the Commanders' win was probably the high point of their season, and they beat the Bucks late in the year.
Well, just remember how bad they were at home for most of the year, like blowouts, including the Texans. Texans beat them 34-10 at home. So that was my one friend, Dak Prescott. My other friend, John Gruden, actually had a take that I think you're going to like, and I think the audience will, and I think it's one that is – I think it's one that plays into a big topic today for the Nick Caley press conference, which is the offensive line. John Gruden, while sitting around chopping it up with his Barstool buddies, said that the O-line coach is the most important hire that a coach is going to make.
I don't care who calls the plays. You can bring Bill Walsh back. Joe Gibbs could walk in here.
Yeah.
The offensive line coach is the most important hire you're going to make as a head coach.
Yep.
And when Scarnecchia left the Patriots, the way the offensive line has developed and the versatility, you can't even imagine what Dante Scarnecchia, he quit one time. And the Patriots,
we brought him back. We sucked him back in.
They brought him back and they just went right. Brady, if you had any of them in here, like Garrett Brunt, they will tell you that Dante Scarnecchia was the winning edge for us.
All right, man.
Yeah. They didn't hire Dante Scarnecchia.
They did not.
We
suggested it. You and I suggested
right.
It.
Yeah, we tried to figure out the two guys, the elderly men that we were trying to pull out of retirement were Mike Munchak, who's not that all that elderly.
No.
And I'm still a little scared of him. But Dante Scarnecchia, some of these older offensive line coaches are like, come on, buddy, it'll be fun.
Yeah, man.
DeMeco's not like Belichick, Dante. Right. You're actually a fun coach in football.
Yes.
Don't you miss having fun?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Cole Popovich, man, a lot of pressure on Cole Popovich to get this thing. I mean, the new O-line coach, the internally promoted O-line coach.
Yeah, and I think also, look, with Gruden, the vast majority of his time in the NFL, he was a coordinator or a head coach who had a lot of oversight over the offensive line coach. It's always the combination of the offensive coordinator working with the offensive line coach and those two guys being on the same page. What I'm hoping that Caserio and DeMeco saw out of the way the offensive line operated this last year was that a lot of it was rooted in Bobby Slowick's inability to actually scheme and coach the run game and pass protection properly. And we talked about this yesterday. Look, when people ask about the offensive line, they want to switch out every single offensive line. You got to get all these bums out of here. Look, if it were nothing but a talent issue on the offensive line, then Bobby Slowick would still have his job.
Yep.
There was, I think they felt like there was untapped potential and or just simple competence there with the offensive line that they weren't getting out of the way that Bobby Slowick and Chris Strauss were running it. So Cole Popovich, much like Nick Caley, is a little bit of an unknown in that, you know, he's had a couple of years. I think he only had 1 year as a full-time, like, offensive line coach with the Patriots is in 2020 in the COVID season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than that, when he's been an offensive line coach, the head offensive line coach, it's been in college. So he's an unknown.
Yeah.
And all I could say is that it appears that Caserio and D'Amico didn't think Cole Popovich was one of the things that was a problem on the team.
Obviously,
that it was
not,
more
yeah.
either Bobby Slowick and or Chris Strouser. We'll never know with Chris Strouser because he reportedly wanted to retire before last season.
Mm-hmm.
They dragged him back in because he had gots to have Strouser in
yeah,
there, apparently.
Need me some Strouser, yeah. baby. Yeah. A lot of text still rolling in on Alex Bregman. It's a text message on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. I'm just glad this is over. The contract extension discussions between the Astros and Bregman started almost 2 years ago. Bregman is an excellent player, but $40 million a year is a place I wouldn't want the Astros to go with almost 20% of their payroll. We've had that question's come up a lot today, Seth, on the text page, which is this deal that the Red Sox did with Bregman a deal that the Astros could have done? And the answer could have is, yeah, could they have done? Yes, they could have done. They can do anything. I mean, if you're willing to pay the price, you can do anything. The reasons why they don't want to do it is, one, they don't play in the opt-out sandbox. You know, they're not into these opt-out after one deal, after 1 year. If they sign you for a three-year deal, they want you there for 3 years. They sign you for 5 years, they want you for five. They don't want the opt-outs. $40 million a year would have taken their competitive balance tax bill into the stratosphere.
Right.
It's a lot of money.
And it is really, when you look at the way the Yankees and the Dodgers spend and what they're able to do, you got to look at just, with the Yankees especially, how much more revenue they have than other major league
TV,
teams.
TV, man.
It's like 50% more than almost every other team in baseball, including the Astros. It's just a huge chunk of money that they can. The luxury tax does not, the competitive balance tax does not hurt them in terms of like percentage of the revenue nearly to the degree that it does other teams.
This team, man, you and I are going down there in about 10 days to spring training. It's going to feel very strange. Jose Altuve is the only one that is left from like the entirety of the golden age. You know, like Yordan Alvarez, who's what, like 27 years old, is one of the most seasoned Astros on the team right now. You know, like as far as being an Astro, he's one of the younger guys. Yeah, he's probably in the middle somewhere age wise. But like we're at the stage now where it's Altuve, and like who's the next closest thing to somebody that feels like they've been part of the period of dominance? It's probably Yordan, and he didn't get up to the Astros until halfway through the 2019 season, you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to feel like this is a team that's going to feel very, very different without Bregman.
Without Bregman there, you lose the last positional player that was there in 2017. Yep. And yes, obviously Tucker's been a huge part of it.
Presley?
Don't make me sad before I go off on my Florida vacation, Sean.
It's not a vacation, Seth. We're working, man. We're working.
Just by way of in 2023, the Astros had $445 million in revenue. The Yankees had $679 million in revenue.
Huh.
So they're making 150% of what the Astros
where
do.
Where are you pulling like, those numbers from, Mr. Wall Street?
That?
Yeah, where the
visualcapitalist.com.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. it's hard to find those numbers sometimes. So $445 million total revenue for the Astros that year.
In 2023.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Those TV deals, man, in those big markets, especially New York, you know, with the Yes Network and stuff. I mean, that's Boston. How can Boston afford to pay Alex Bregman, I would say a very good but not great player, $40 million a year? How can they afford to pay him like he's a great player? Well, they have amazing TV deals up there. You know, they make a lot of money. A lot of money. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. A reminder, hey, listen to the Odyssey app. Listen to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app for at least an hour each day, and that's your entry into the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. If you win, you and three friends are headed to Vegas to head to Circa and hang out in the sports book, hang out in the pool, the stadium swim. Yeah, it's good stuff, man. Stadium swim's badass. It's during the College Basketball Championship Tournament. You'll get an extra $20,000 in your pocket to spend while you're in Vegas. Download the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day, and you'll get your daily entry to the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Questions we want to hear asked of Nick Caley and D'Amico Ryans today. We'll do that. Talk to the guys on In the Loop about it as well. That's all coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, so things that I'm hoping to hear from Nick Cayley and D'Amico Ryans today. What are the chances we get good answers on these questions, Seth? Why this, just for Cayley, why this job and not the previous jobs that you had turned down?
Yes, good question, Sean.
Do you think we get a good answer on that? I think that's an easy one to give a good answer to, right?
Well, it's an easy one, but he's going to be careful not to insult either of those other two places.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think you get a 100% frank answer.
Good point.
I don't think he's going to say, like, he's not going to say, did you see the reports about Woody Johnson's kids? Hell no, I don't want to go coach for the Jets.
That's the real answer, too.
I'm going to go take a job with the Jets where I don't know if Aaron Rodgers at the time I take the job is actually going to be my guy or if I have to deal with somebody else. No, hell no.
Excellent point. Excellent point. So the quality answer there in terms of the percentage of truth we're getting is probably like a 5 or a 6 out of 10, I would say.
He's going to give you some answer about fit and why it feels right. And he'll probably – it'll be interesting. I think he might say something about his experience with Nick Caserio.
Yep.
And what he knows about D'Amico Ryans, all that stuff.
What about CJ? Does he get some love in that answer also?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The opportunity to coordinate an offense with one of the bright young quarterbacks in our league.
Yeah, and I think that's where – I know one of the other things you want to know about is the CJ Stroud scouting report. So – yeah, maybe it comes up when he's talking about why he would come here if he's asked a specific question about C.J. Stroud. Yeah, I think that this is another one where he might want to tread lightly because he doesn't – nobody ever wants to be in the position where it looks like they're trashing the predecessor. Yeah. But he's going to say I think he'll probably say, look, we know we have to clean up the pass protection. And I think that – I think we've got guys that can do it. We just need to, you know, get on the same page. But it's really, really hard to operate – when C.J. Stroud, his average pressure rate in any given game was what Pat Mahomes faced in the Super Bowl, and Pat Mahomes turned in the second worst game of his career. Yeah, it's really, really hard to play good quarterback when you're under that much pass rush pressure.
So why this job? Give me your scouting report on C.J. Stroud. I think the other one, and this may be a multi-question thing, as bad as the offensive line was. I mean, the offensive line, if we're listing reasons why Bobby Slowik is no longer here, Bobby himself certainly takes some of the blame on that just in terms of his play calling. But if we're blaming position groups or assigning a percentage of the blame to position groups, I mean, it's the offensive line and probably the tight ends in blocking in a runaway here. So my general question would be, what's the plan for the offensive line? But I feel like there's probably follow-ups to that are appropriate, Is Titus going to play left guard? That kind of stuff.
Right. I think as far as Titus playing left guard, he's totally going to say something about just being in the evaluation phase right now and getting to know everybody. I do think he's probably, or I won't be surprised if he says something about, using last year and leaning into what they were actually good at. And I think one of Slowik's weaknesses was in not recognizing and understanding exactly what they could be good at. So he wanted to, hammer what he wanted the scheme to be, and it was just too late by the time he realized, like, oh, we need to be something else altogether.
Yeah.
And but there were in the playoffs alone, there were some really good moments and drives where the run was heavily featured. In both playoff games, they had third quarter drives where they just ran the ball down the field.
Yeah.
And the offensive line, especially in that Chiefs game on that 82-yard touchdown drive, they were driving dudes off the ball.
Yes.
Like, they were physically overpowering guys. So there's things to lean into. It's just, with Bobby, it took way too long to figure out that version of the Texans' offense.
It's going to be hard for me to come away from this press conference feeling negative about Nick Caley. However, I'm looking at, I'm just looking at our rundown, some of these questions I just read. Like, what's the worst answer he could give to, like, if they ask, like, why this job and not New England or the Jets? What if he did this?
I took this job simply because there's 32 of these in this league.
Okay. Like, that would scare me a little bit if that were the answer. Like,
the
how about if we asked him, like, hey, give us your scouting report on C.J. Stroud? And he talked about how, well, every position is going to be competitive. So Davis Mills and C.J. Stroud, I mean, this is going to be a competitive situation going into camp. That would scare me a little bit.
The David Culley old, like, if you tell your wife, like, oh, you want me to tell you why I love you? Because you've got all the holes that I like.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know how to keep that mouth hole shut when you need to. Yeah.
That's the equivalent.
It's just like you're suitable.
Yeah,
I like women, and you're a woman.
Yeah,
that's why I chose you.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're the one dumb enough to marry me. Yeah.
what's the adjective you would use to describe your significant other? Useful.
Gullibility.
Yeah,
that's what I like about her. She fell for my BS.
All right.
Yeah.
So D'Amico's going to get asked about Bobby. Scale of 1 to 10, how good an answer do you think we get, and why is it a negative number?
D'Amico's going to get asked about Bobby.
Yeah.
And I think D'Amico will give kind of a general statement about, This is, you know what? I think we might actually get a good answer.
Really?
An interesting answer about this. Because I think he might also voice some support for Bobby Slowik. I don't think that all of a sudden D'Amico hates Bobby Slowik
or something. No, of course not. Of course not.
I think that it's, for me, I think that Bobby Slowik is a very smart dude. Does that mean that he should eventually someday be an offensive coordinator? I don't know. But I know that if anything, I think he was just too green for this scenario. It was, there were too many lessons he hadn't learned yet about being an offensive coordinator in the NFL, and he just wasn't ready for this challenge. So I think we might get an interesting answer out of D'Amico, because he's probably going to be eager to say something positive about him.
Yeah.
But in doing that, you also got to acknowledge that, all right, but he wasn't the right fit for right now.
Yeah. We should point out Bobby does have another job. For those who weren't tuned in yesterday or just not paying attention to the job cycle, which I get, he is the senior passing game coordinator for Mike McDaniel in Miami. So he's landed on his feet.
He could be a senior in Florida. He can get discounts at the buffet starting at like 3:30 p.m.
Yes, yeah. Early bird specials out the wazoo. Mm-hmm. And Diggs, I don't care if it's D'Amico getting asked or Kaylee or both, but clock's ticking on Diggs. You know, the Monday is the day that they need to figure something out on an extension. And if they don't, his contract voids and the Texans get, boom, smacked in the middle, right between the eyes with $16 million in dead money on the cap.
We've heard zero about this.
Zero.
No leaks, no sources say or anything. The Texans play these types of things very close to the vest.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's notable that Stephon Diggs hasn't been saying anything publicly about it. I wonder, Stephon Diggs did everything right when it came to speaking to the media, interactions with his teammates, even when times were tough. I thought that Stephon Diggs was a model citizen.
Yeah.
And I don't know. At the very least, we know that Stephon Diggs doesn't seem to be agitated with the Texans for any reason. So maybe no news is good news in that regard.
Are you, not to shift gears too quickly, are you starting to get some of the results back on your big exam that the NFL did with you last week?
Not for another couple weeks, but I am getting... They just sent me the sleep test that I have to take, and I've never been happier in my life about an upcoming exam, medical exam. Because unlike every other sleep test I've ever done where you have multiple tubes and hoses attached to your face, and they're like, just get a normal night's sleep.
No.
And I'm like, I don't normally sleep looking like an octopus.
Well, and knowing people are watching you all night, too, if you go to one of those
I've never
centers.
Had to do one at a sleep lab.
Oh, you do it at
I've
home.
I've done at-home
you.
Ones.
I got you.
But you still have to attach. That's even more stressful because you have to attach everything yourself.
Yeah.
This one is just, it's a little finger monitor.
Like they
it's
do.
Like almost like a pulse meter on your finger.
At the doctor's.
And I think there's something that attaches to my wrist, and that's it.
That's it.
I was like, where are the hoses that go up my nose?
Right,
like,
right. Not,
unless you don't have to have them unless you want them.
Where are the electrodes that I like to put in all sorts of funky places? Yeah.
Where's all the surgical tape all over my face?
Yeah,
it just comes off in the middle of the night and I throw everything against the wall.
That's really cool. If it were that simple, I would sleep test myself all the time just to make sure everything's cool. You know what I mean? Like
I might buy this when I'm done with it.
Yeah. So they sent it to you. Okay. So you seem like you're doing great. So I wasn't asking.
Oh, yeah. I don't have it. Every sleep test I've done, I've been fine. I just, it's a free test, so I'll partake.
Oh, yeah, you're in radio, dude. If it's free, I'll take three, yes.
Yeah. And if you never know when something might pop up. I don't know. All of a sudden, I've got deadly sleep apnea. I'd like to know.
You had a birthday yesterday, a big birthday yesterday. Did you do anything good for your birthday? Or you?
No, I just generally try to ignore them.
Okay.
Well, 50's hard. 50's hard because people will not shut up about how monumental it is that you're turning 50. And I'm like, I didn't feel that way this morning. But now that you think about it, I'm reassessing my entire life, you son of a bitch.
Totally. You know how I celebrated your 50th birthday? By getting $297.10 coming my way, thanks to the... Have you ever done this before? The exercise with the controller's office where there's unclaimed property?
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I had a...
It's fun.
It's fun. Amy searched it for me, and she texts me yesterday, and she's like, hey, it turns out you have four different accounts, and no monumental money or anything like that. But she searched this website, the Texas Controller's Office Unclaimed Property Division, and I had searched this a couple of years ago, and there was some money in there, but the process to do it, stop me if you're surprised at that, I got frustrated like 10 seconds into the process.
You got to provide documentation that you lived at that address. It was like seven addresses ago. And
this ain't worth the $28.94 or whatever. So Amy texted me yesterday. She's like, I think there's more in there now than the money that you ignored, money bags. And I said, okay, well, what do you need in order to get it for me? And she said, all I need is your social security number. So I thought about it for a while, hung up the phone, sat there for 30 minutes, said, all right, I guess I'll give my wife my social security number.
I gave it to her, and she
filled out all the forms. And next thing I knew, Seth, 10 minutes later, I had an email from the controller's office saying that my claim has been approved, and I'll have the money in 10 days. In 10 days, I will be $297.10 richer. And so you better plan, because I'm definitely not coming into work that day, man.
I did the same thing after I saw that you did it, and I've got about $250 coming from a combination of Florida and Texas unclaimed property.
Dude, I only had Texas. Good for you. Two states.
Morgan Stanley. It's Morgan Stanley in every instance. So I don't know why they didn't see fit to send a private banker to my house with a Belize full of my $250. But at some point, I missed out on some dividend checks or something.
Mine was on two life insurance policies I had that were obviously like the kind that accumulated.
You're obviously
cash.
Alive.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
And then I had some money in a FanDuel account from like 8 years ago, $28.94. And then $5 from something called Block, Inc., maybe H&R Block. It was $5. So clearly I was one of their whales when it came to investments. I'm surprised that they're not calling me on the regular to, you know, get me involved in some hedge funds and whatnot with the $5 I had sitting there in the controller's office. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. It's weird. I've lost so much faith in any kind of institution that I'm always amazed that, like, wait a second, the government's just holding this for me?
Big government. Okay. Yeah, thanks. Okay. Now, they're not...
Some administrator definitely made more than $250 keeping track of this money all these years.
Yes, yes, for sure.
I want some.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Okay, so John, you were asking me about this during the break.
I'm ready to start typing.
I think if you just put in Texas Controller's Office.
With an isn't MP.
Comptroller.
I didn't want to be the jerk, but every time you said controller, I was like, isn't it comptroller?
It's comptroller. Do you pronounce it as comptroller?
I say controller.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think you can say it either way.
It can go either way.
It's your God-given right as an American to be
wrong. It can go either way. It can go either way, jerk face. So Unclaimed Property Division is what you need.
I'm on it.
Both of you. It's a responsible thing to do.
What is my name again?
What's your social?
All right, so it's
nobody's listening. Yeah,
that's right. It's just us amongst friends. That's actually one of the funny things that happened yesterday. Is I got a call from a mom saying that she had gotten a call from someone else. Like, oh, I love listening to Reggie on the air, and I was like, oh, that's right. I forget people listen to this.
Yeah, wow, big time, crazy. Big time.
The correct pronunciation is controller.
Oh, wow. Why do they spell it like that?
It says comp.
Hey, you know what they do in Florida? They make it fun. It's called Florida Treasure Hunt. But it's one of those things where you're like, well, like you have to check to be sure it's .gov.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way they call it Florida Treasure Hunt. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Reggie's the guy that says, what do I want to do on Wednesday?
That's right. Actually, my late grandmother absolutely called it Wednesday. 100%.
A Wednesday in
February.
Yeah.
That's me.
Okay, what's
unnecessarily pedantic?
What's
Let's go.
The over under? Because you're going to search this.
I have it open. I'll search it in a break.
Okay, search it.
There
in a break.
Are a lot of fields that I need to fill
Reggie,
in.
Reggie, what's the over under on the amount of money that you think Lopez just has sitting around somewhere?
Oh, Lopez. Right? I don't think that he's gone back. And he's been around for a bit now.
Yeah.
That's another way of calling him old. I think that's it's
a function of age. For all right, sure,
so if we're putting the over under, I'm going to put the over under at 249.5.
249.5. I'm going under. John seems more responsible than that. Yeah, like I don't think. Yeah, I feel like it, and I feel like Jan's also.
Well, John hasn't moved as much as us. Usually, this is
only once in the last 30
That's true.
Something
years. Yeah, that's now that you mention it, the dates all kind of line up with something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Reginald, you're good. You can pronounce it either way. According
to
you.
That's what I said.
Yeah, comptroller.
Yeah, John said that as well.
This guy's going to be comptrolling everything.
Well,
today,
I'm here
like for a reason.
I feel like it's clearer
for a reason.
I feel like it's clearer if I say comptroller because you know exactly. If I say controller, you don't know if I'm talking about like an Xbox or whatever. You don't know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. I worked at in college. I worked for a spell at the university controller office, and it was actually spelled controller, which was extra confusing because I always felt like I was misspelling it by spelling the normal way that you spell control.
I feel like a controller, C-O-N, troller is like a like kind of like casual, like around the office, you know, like just kind of, you know, no tie or anything like that. It looks like casual Friday all the time. Whereas a comptroller, I feel like, has a visor, maybe some bands around their sleeves right there.
Holy crap.
Has an abacus or like one of those ka-chink, like, you know, ka-chink, ka-chink, cash registers. Comptroller feels a little more folksy and old school.
It does.
Controller feels new.
I say controller.
You do? Yeah, I do too. Because I try to connect with the new generation.
Alex Bregman's got a personal comptroller.
Does he ever?
He can afford that now, can't he?
Now,
that's a guy that signed on Wednesday.
He did sign on Wednesday. on Wednesday, which Payne and Pendergast do not like. Do it earlier in the day.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not going to ask you guys about the Bregman thing because I'm guessing that's what's batting leadoff on the show today.
That is correct.
All right, so I look forward to listening to all of your takes on Alex Bregman.
No, the whole first segment is actually going to be us divulging how much money that we're getting from the
Okay, good. Yeah. You looked it up. Okay, good.
$60.
I bet it's...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, not that much money.
Okay, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye.
That's right.
$60.
My problem is...
a lot of kolaches.
There's 9 million John Lopez's.
Oh, so you don't know how to differentiate... Well, you can look at the various addresses, though.
I am. I don't live on Mendocino Drive.
Okay, that's good to know.
Ever?
How meticulous are these about? Because apparently there's a lot of Adatulas out there that have not claimed their money. Can I just take their money?
You need,
is that possible?
Eventually you need their social security number as well.
I feel very strongly that
I'm like, there's a lot of money out here to be claimed.
That I'm screwed.
Yeah. Oh, really?
There's so many John Lopez.
Yeah, I could see that. Which one has the most?
There are 4,600 on LinkedIn.
Does it tell how much each one has?
Yeah. The dude on Mendocino has $445.
That's not bad.
I got to get a hold of him.
Yeah. Or find out if he's dead.
Yeah.
How long do you think it would take to reverse engineer that social security number? You know?
Yeah.
This is true.
Good thing we're talking about this on the air.
That's right. We're not admitting to crimes.
speaking of all the John Lopez's on LinkedIn, John, you're the second one that pops up.
You're damn right I am.
Radio host at Entercom Radio.
You'd be keeping that one updated.
Yeah, that's right.
Someone who feels real good about their job.
With a picture from that is definitely from the Entercom days. Yeah, you have not kept this thing up.
It's not been nice to me.
All right, we call that looking sophisticated.
Thank you.
All right, Seth, antibodies and much splendor and glory with all your newfound wealth.
Yeah, I've only got 48 other states to check. Yeah, there we go. All right, mention Puerto Rico.
Great point.
Yes, we are done. We're out of time. KILT AM, KILT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station. That's what you're listening to.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.